announcement to make, too. We're giving out tickets for Precious Life Banquet, which is the 22nd of March, and it's at 6 o'clock, so you have to shinny in there because you might not get a seat because they get crowded during those times. So we'd love to have you, and you just say that you're from our church, but you'll have a ticket because I'll give you a ticket if you don't have one already. Okay? Thank you. It may be today. There is a message written in the Word of God for me. My Savior put it there to ease my load of care. I read, let not your heart be troubled, I will come again, that with me you may be through all eternity. The Christ I love is coming soon. It may be morning, night, or noon. My lamps are lit. I'll watch and pray. It may be today. So many hearts are broken here, so many tears are shed, but Jesus gives sweet peace. This message brings relief. He'll come again for those he loves. The clouds will part someday, and Jesus will break through. I'm going up. Are you? The Christ I love is coming soon. It may be morning, night, or noon. My lamps are lit. I'll watch and pray. It may be today. It may be today. This is the Christian's hope, and like a beacon in the storm, it still sends forth its light to make the pathway bright. The dead in Christ and those remaining shall be upward caught. Oh, what a day 'twill be! Blessed day of victory. The Christ I love is coming soon. It may be morning, night, or noon. My lamps are lit. I'll watch and pray. It may be today.
All right, if you have a Bible with you, and if you don't, there's one in the pew rack, but I trust you do. Take your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And I sit up here and think about announcements that I forgot to make. And so, apologizing, seem like we make announcements the whole service. But don't forget college trip, young people that are going. That's in just another week, and we're looking forward to it. What we're doing is we're taking some 10th, 11th, 12th graders to different Christian colleges to just expose them to the idea of a Christian college and how God could possibly work in their life. And so be praying for us and as we go. If you need any information, parents, about that, we handed out an information sheet, and all information should be on there. If you did not get one, please let me know, and I'll be sure to give you that, okay? Now, a lot of people's mind is on the weather here outside, and I've already been told, you better not preach very long. I'm leaving. it's a good thing we don't really have no idea whether it's snowing outside because of our windows here, unless you look on your app on your phone and start spreading the word. But I'm not going to promise anything, okay? But I'll try my best to get done before it starts getting too bad out there. I am cognizant of the fact that it could be, the conditions could be start getting kind of ugly very soon. By the way, too, if you ever want to know, are we canceling church? And it seems like this winter has been one of the worst. Maybe not one of the worst, but at least all the snows are falling on Sunday or Wednesday, it seemed like. And we've had to cancel three times already. I don't really like to do that. But again, I don't want to endanger anybody trying to get up the roads and get an accident or anything like that. So you say, how do you know? Well, there's two ways to know. We will put it on our prayer chain if we ever cancel. And it'll also be on WEAR TV or wearecentralpa.com. Or you can call another church member and find out. Okay, that's another way too. Let's get back to the thought here as we get into our message this morning. We've been going through Matthew, and God's timing is always perfect, and I'm just amazed at how I'm getting to the crucifixion and resurrection right as we come into that time period. And it's very sobering to go through some of these passages and read them as to the hardness of people's hearts in Christ's trial, the sufferings he went through, and all that's involved with that, but makes me think of how much I love the Lord and what he did for me. And so we're going to look today and this morning of Jesus before Pilate. And I told you to turn to Matthew 27. We'll start at verse 11, but look back with me, verse 1. It says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they bound him, verse 1 is with Caiaphas, the Jewish leader. And then when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now Pontius Pilate didn't have a real good reputation among the people. He was a Roman procurator of Judea, appointed by the Roman emperor. Really didn't care anything about the Jews. In fact, was very cruel to the Jews, as we read in some historical accounts. In fact, shortly after this infamous event where he condemned Jesus to death, he actually was removed from office after an uprising by the Samaritans, which also a portion of Palestine he controlled. But it's interesting, as we go through this trial, Pilate tried to find every which way he could to wiggle out of this, didn't he? He didn't want any part of putting to death an innocent man. But Pilate was willing to show the Jews a favor, probably because of the harshness he'd already have toward them, and probably of the kind of the emotion of the time. But Jesus stands before Pilate. And if you look down with me here at verse number 15, Pilate offers an incredible deal to the Jews, really, almost unthinkable. He says in verse 15, now at the feast, the governor, Pilate, was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And that seemed to be a tradition in the Passover season. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Skip with me to verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye, that is, Jesus or Barabbas? And he's already looking at Jesus as a prisoner, was not even condemned. The verdict was not even in. He did not even release a verdict yet, but he took him as a prisoner, as a convict. But he says, whither the twain will ye that I release unto you? He puts the question out before the people, and they say, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Let's talk about Barabbas today a little bit. Barabbas, and then the choices we make. Jews made a bad choice that day. What about the choices we make? Let's pray. Father, as I'm praying here and asking you to help me to say the things that I need to, I trust we're all praying together. Lord, and I pray that you'll just give me the words that I need to say here that are from you. Lord, I pray as much as we'll also be listeners and good listeners. Lord, there's so many things going on that can distract our attention, events of this world, and maybe even today. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us keep our focus. May Satan have no part in distracting us here this morning. And may the message that you want for each individual here, I pray, would be impressed upon their heart. So, Lord, I'm just not up here giving a speech. Lord, I'm asking that you be in it and that you would use it as we look really at your holy word and the Holy Spirit that illuminates that in our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look in verse number 11. We see that Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him. Now, in between this time, in Luke, it actually tells us that the Jews had accused Jesus before Pilate. If you turn with me to Luke 23, keep your finger in Matthew 27. None of the gospel writers present the complete picture. So to get the complete picture, you have to turn back and forth between. And we won't do that too much because we want to look at the picture that Matthew presented here. But this does help fill in the gaps a little bit. Luke 23, and then verse number 1 and 2. Now remember, they had already taken him to Caiaphas, the Jewish ruler, the leader of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin had already passed their verdict that he was guilty of death. The charge of blasphemy came up. They could not put him to death. The Jews were not allowed to do that, and so they had to take him to a secular ruler, a Roman ruler named Pilate. And so chapter 23, verse 1 says, "The whole multitude of them arose and led them unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him." Now notice the charge they bring against him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation." Perverting the nation. "And forbidding to give tribute to Caesar." As you remember the coin where he said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, unto God the things that are God." I mean, that really wasn't true, but that's what they drummed up, charge against him. That he didn't say, "Don't give tribute to Caesar," but that's what they twisted it to mean. "Saying that he himself is Christ the King." So they really changed the charges against him, didn't they? The charge of blasphemy was dropped now before Pilate. And they brought up the charge of treason. That Christ is against you, Pilate. He's against the Roman government. He's saying, "Don't give tribute to Caesar." He's calling himself a king, Pilate. What are you going to do about that? Well, Pilate realized he had to take care of that one. Or not necessarily, I don't mean by taking care of to convict this man, but he could not let it go. He could not just dismiss it. This was a serious charge. For any man to uprise against the Roman government and declare himself a king was something that had to be dealt with. So he brought him in to question him, as we go back in Matthew 27 and verse 11. He brings him in to question him, and he asks him, he says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" He asks him, he says, "What about this charge that they've given?" Jesus answers him as he answered Caiaphas. He says, "Thou sayest." He says, "That's true what you're saying. You said it." Verse 12, "And when he was accused to the chief priests and elders, apparently they continued to accuse him and bring charges against him, as he did with the Jewish leadership." It says he answered nothing. Silent. Jesus knew that there was no cause or recourse for trying to speak at this time. Their minds were made up. They were going through a mockery of a trial just to get what they wanted. And so he took it patiently, didn't he? There was no accusations. There was no revenge in Jesus' heart or mind. There was no trying to defend himself. Verse 13, "Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" He says, "Listen to him." "And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly." So Jesus' silence. We see in verse 15, we see as the verses we already read, as he proposes this idea and Pilate is trying to think, and certainly as Jesus stands before him, Pilate is thinking, this is not the rebel rouser that they're portraying him as. I mean, if you're accusing a man of bringing treason against the Roman government and telling people not to give their taxes, don't pay your taxes, and I'm the king here. You think this guy would be someone very bombastic and someone very loud. No, instead, Jesus was very meek and mild and just stood there. In Pilate's mind, he's thinking, this is not all the impression I'm getting. So Pilate tries to wiggle himself out of this, probably a mess that he's gotten himself into now. Because he didn't want to just release him and say, not guilty, and knew he would stir up problems. So he wanted to try to do something, and so he said, well, a good way out is to release a prisoner. Jesus is a prisoner. Barabbas has already been in jail. So he said, let me release one of these to you. Thinking all along they would choose who? They would choose Jesus. Because certainly they did not want to choose Barabbas. So a choice was set before the Jews that day. All right? Verse 17, therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? And when he said the word Barabbas, he thought they would say, no, no, we don't want that guy. Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. Now, who is Barabbas? Well, we read in the other Gospels that Barabbas was a robber. But he's not just a robber, he was also a murderer. He murdered someone during an insurrection. Now, it doesn't really tell us much about that insurrection. An insurrection was kind of an uprising. Maybe it was against the Roman government. Don't really know. But anyway, this is a violent man. This is a violent criminal. Now stop and think of a criminal that you may be aware of. Now, you may know someone that personally has done a violent criminal act, maybe against a friend or a family member. Would you want that person released? I don't think so. That man needs to be off the streets. That man needs to stay behind bars. With all I can, I'm making sure, no, not that I don't love him, but I'm making sure he stays behind bars. He's a violent man. I could think of international terrorists. How about if they said, and this is kind of a hard way to think of it, but because they're both not living right now, but how about if we said, well, let's release Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein? All right, this was kind of the thought here. This man Barabbas was not just, he's not a likable, upstanding member of the community. No, this man needs to be behind bars. That was the choice. But look at Pilate. He knew why they had delivered Jesus. Verse 18, he knew that for envy they delivered him. They were envious against him and the crowds he was getting and the religious accolades and all that. And verse 19, even his wife wants Pilate to get out of this. She says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man, for that just man. For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. He says, oh, I just had a dream. I had a dream that they were coming after me, you know, or whatever it was. And I was suffering because of the verdict you made against him. We all have crazy dreams, don't we? Okay. And I won't begin to tell you some of the crazy dreams I have. And I think, why in the world ever dreamed that crazy dream? Well, Pilate's wife, she came up to him and she said, listen, I had a crazy dream. This is bad news. You need to get out of this thing somehow, some way. So that just kind of egged Pilate on. Verse number 20, chief priest. Now notice again, the choice is put before the people. They have not answered yet. And boy, there's so many things we can say about choices here. And we'll get to them in a minute. But I'll just add this one right here. The people were influenced. Influenced. Do you realize, young people, parents, grandparents, adults, the choices that you make are influenced by people. Now, we often say life is made up of choices and choices bring consequences and so forth. And we say these things. That's true, and I agree, and that's part of my message here today. But can I tell you also, parents especially, we need to be careful, and young people, peer pressure is something that is so strong for a young person. It's strong for adults too, but doubly strong for young people. We need to be so careful of how they're being influenced, because that influence is influencing them to make the wrong choice. Wake up. You say, why is my kid making these wrong choices? Hello, look who he's hanging around. And I'm trying to be kind. But stop and think, oh, they're strong. No, they're making the wrong choice. Why? Because they're friends. Who are their friends? Who is influencing them? And that's why I am convinced that we need to, oh, be so careful, parents, about the people, the kids that we have over our house, who their friends are, who their boyfriend is, who their girlfriend is, what school they're going to and who's influencing. All these things surrounding, especially our young people. But they influenced them. Look at verse 20. And this is, I can't even imagine the power that they must have had over the multitude. It says, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Wow. Did it work? Verse 21, look. The governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? He said, what's your decision? I'm asking you again. And this time they gave an answer. They said, Barabbas. Probably shocked them. You what? Barabbas. You could see a shock. Verse 22, Pilate said unto them, well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? He thought he'd just release him and he'll go back and all be done with. They probably just thought, okay, they for envy, they delivered him. They'll get over it. It's done with. Let's just. And they all saying to him, let him be crucified. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing to me that 1 week ago they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, waving palm branches. 1 week later they're shouting, let him be crucified. Why? Persuasion. Influence. By the way, this isn't the first time the chief priest persuaded the people. You read in the Gospels, you can go to different passages of Scripture. Look at one, John chapter 9. Come back to Matthew 27, but look at John 9. This just shows you the chief priest's hold over these people. I mean, it was a strong. You ever see somebody that's just a strong persuasion? You look at him and you say, boy, that person has peer pressure written all over. Chief priest, look what they said in John 9, 22. And this is about the man born blind, and it gives a little commentary, and Jesus healed this man, and they ask him, who healed you, and so forth. And he said, these words spake he, his parents, because they feared the Jews. Look at that. They feared that. Why did they speak? Well, verse 21, it says, by what means he now seeth we know not, or who hath opened his eyes we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. They spake that way because they feared the Jews. You ever do anything out of fear? I'm afraid of what this person will say. What about it, teenagers, young people, adults? Do we do it because of fear? They feared the Jews. They're scared to death what they would do to them. Look, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. They said, you go ask. You know. All right? So the chief priests and the scribes had this hold over the people. Even though they wanted, they knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They knew, they saw his miracles, they loved him, they thronged around shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. But they're scared to death of these people over here. How many times do we act in fear like that? All right. But the chief priests wielded such an influence over these people that they said, you need to shout, crucify him, because that's what we want. And they gave in. And it wasn't the chief priest's choice that we're going to look at here today. They had already made up their mind. They were evil. They were unbelievers. And so I guess probably a good part of the people that got saved on the day of Pentecost, maybe somewhere of those that are standing around that spot right there. Okay. But we're looking at the people. And it's usually the simple ones are the ones that we're really preaching to today that have not made the choice. Some people already made the choice. I'm going this way, and I don't care what anybody else says. I'm stubborn. We're talking about those that are simple, those that can go either way in either direction. And they all persuaded him. Verse 22, Pilate said, what shall I do then? Let him be crucified. Verse 23, the governor pleads with him a second time. Parents, maybe like we plead with our young people. Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, and then once you get a riot going, boy, everybody just wants to chime in, don't they? Let him be crucified. Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Of course, that did not wash away his responsibility. But look at verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and our children. It's almost like they cursed themselves, you know. And God, at this point, you read in Romans, doesn't really deal much with the Jews anymore. Now, at the end millennium, he'll come back and deal with them. But right now, it's more the gospel's gone to the Gentiles. The Jews said, let his blood be on us. The Lord said, okay. And I'm going to deal more with the Gentiles. Verse 26, tragic verse. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, and we can't really skip over that too quickly, that was with a cat of nine tails, glass, and sharp bits of glass and metal and things that, when they whipped him, tore his flesh to shreds. Many died on that whipping post. He delivered him to be crucified. Barabbas. I remember a long time ago, in my devotions, I was reading this, probably when I was college age, and it just hit me, struck me. How could they ever choose Barabbas over Jesus? And I'm wondering today about the choices we make. If we were standing there, what choice would we make? We'd say, oh, well, sure, I would choose. I would never shout with them. Are you sure? Because sometimes choices we make are not much better. And we're set before choices for us today. Remember how they set the choices before the people, Joshua did? And then Joshua very boldly said, and we got this verse on our wall, many of you do probably as well, as for me and my house, we'll what? Serve the Lord. Yeah, that's a choice. You know, some choices we make are big choices. Who am I going to marry? That's a big choice. What college am I going to attend? What job am I going to get? As adults, it's more job or houses or things like that. Those are big choices. We need to spend much time in prayer. But you know, there's many little choices we make too. And little choices often come without much thought and can have grave consequences. Someone said, you make 70 choices a day. Isn't that amazing? Stop and think about it. You made choices already this morning. You made a choice whether you're going to eat Cheerios or cornflakes. You made a choice of what you're going to wear. That's a big choice for some of you. My girl spent a half an hour trying to figure that one out. I look in my closet. That looks good. Honey, how does this look? Good, we're done. All right. And you men do the same thing. You ask your wives. This is approved. This is an approved tie this morning, okay? All right. And she lets me know if it doesn't match. No. You know, we make choices about what we're having, what we're taking to school for lunch every day. We make choices about who's driving the car. What are we going to do tonight? What's on our schedule? Where are we going to go? What are we going to see? What are we going to eat for dinner? We make lots of choices. They say some of them are very inconsequential. And I agree. Although food, we sometimes eat too much sweet, fat things, you know. Okay. But some things are very consequential. Because God's Word says some things about them. And we need to be so careful, even in small choices. One preacher said this, and I hardly agree with him. He says, we make too many choices in our lives. When he said that, that struck me. My ears perked up. What was his thinking? Well, we make too many choices because we haven't made big choices. Like, here's a big choice. Am I going to go to church every Sunday? Well, if you haven't made that choice, then every Sunday is going to be a big debate in your home. Dad, we going to church today? Oh, I don't know. Let's think about it. What's the weather look like? How do I feel? What do we got going on? This, that, the other. You don't have to make that choice every Sunday. My parents made that choice. I knew. Come Sunday morning, we're going. That was a choice for all of eternity, you know? All right? A choice to be modest in your clothing. You don't have to fiddle around and say, well, what am I going to wear this? It's maybe a little bit, you know. Hey, have you set some standards? A choice. See, that's why I say standards are good of what I'm going to dress, how I'm not going to dress. It's pleasing to the Lord. The Bible talks about modesty. I'm not trying to get all into that, but it is. That's a choice we make every day. But if we've already made the choice and set some standards that it's going to be this and that and whatever, then we don't have to make huge decisions and battle it out with our kids and all this kind of thing. We make a choice about entertainment. We make a choice about what we're going to watch and what we're not going to watch. And some of you parents have done excellent with that and said, hey, we're only going to watch this and we're not going to watch that and so forth. You know. All right? But choices do matter. Let me just give you, in the time we got remaining, three areas I think we're particularly tempted in that we need to make a choice. Here's the first one. The world versus the will of God. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. You know, the Bible has much to say about the world. There's three enemies of the Christian. You've heard this. Three enemies of the Christian are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And really, choices are about making a choice on what we're talking about between right and wrong. Am I going to do the right thing, or am I going to do the wrong thing? And you know, the world comes in like a flood. The world is so strong, isn't it? Boy, media. And that incorporates not just television. Back in my day, it was just television. I'm talking about growing up. But now we've got social media, internet, Instagrams, all so many different things. The movies we sit down and watch. And the world has so much allurements. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 2:15, that's where I'm at. It says, love not the world. Now, that's not talking about people, and that's not talking about the created world. It's talking about the evil system that's opposed to God. Love not this evil system opposed to God, and you know it's out there, don't you? It didn't take very long. The other morning I got up 5 o'clock to go get my kids from the all-nighter. No, I didn't stay. I did stay for a little bit, met the speaker, and then I played hooky and left, okay? Said, I'm going to bed. But I had to get up at 5 to go get them. And now I'm going to give you a bad example of a choice I made, because I said it was about 5:30, I was ready to go, and I said, I got about 15 minutes. Let me read my Bible. And I said, I really should, and I listened to by my flesh and the devil, and said, just check the news on your phone first. And I got on, and you know, these news feeds you get on your phone, sometimes it's filthy stuff. And this was, I'm not saying I looked at pornography or anything, but the news feed I got on was something about Miley Cyrus or something. And I'll tell you what, and all her lifestyle she's living, and I think, Lord, why did I even look at that? Now my mind's thinking about Miley Cyrus as I go get these kids. Honest confession, okay? About how she's taking drugs and stuff. And by the way, can I put it aside here? I'm being kind. I really am. But if you're into Miley Cyrus, you need to repent and get right. Okay. Anyway, get off of that. But you know what, though? The Lord just struck me and said, you need to be thinking about things with God, not that stuff right now. And especially first thing in the morning. But I don't know why I got that. Well, it's the world. And boy, I'll tell you, the world. And it's alluring to people. People flock to see this lady sing. She was with some kind of drag queen and something. Just garbage stuff. And you know, people flock to see this kind of stuff. It's worldly allurements. Bible says, love not that stuff. That's a choice set before you. Am I going to love that? Am I going to love God? Am I going to love Jesus? Or am I going to love the world? Am I going to choose Jesus? Or am I going to choose Barabbas? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, I didn't say it here, Jesus did. The Bible says it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, you don't love the Father. For all that's in the world, what characterizes the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But look, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that's why I said many times the choice is between the world and the will of God. The will of God. Listen to some of these verses. James 4:4 says, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Titus 2:12, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. 2 Peter 1:4 says that when we saved, we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Many Christians today are making wrong choices regarding the world, aren't we? Maybe in our music and our media and our modes of dress and these things. God wants us to be holy. The very word holy means set apart, sanctified. Set apart from what? From the world under Christ. And can I say this too? Be careful about trying to associate. Sometimes it's just our styles. But styles get associated with the world. And music styles and clothing styles and the things that we do for entertainment get so closely associated with the world that sometimes it's hard to keep a good testimony. Bible says avoid all appearance of evil. And I think we need to just, when we say, the Bible says be sanctified, say, Lord, I don't want to get as close to the world as I can. And we don't want to be weird. We be in style. I think I'm dressing in style, so are you. But we need to be careful and say, hey, I don't want to get so close that people think I'm of the world and ruins my testimony. That's a battle. That's a choice we make, the world or the will of God, don't we? Here's another one, the flesh versus the spirit. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Another choice that we face almost every day. In every situation, am I going to act in the flesh or am I going to act in the spirit? The second enemy we have, not only the world, but we have the enemy called the flesh. Most of the time, you know who's to blame? We are. I am. I'm the one to blame. Not the devil, it's me. Look at Galatians 5:17. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. Do you know if you're saved, you've got a battle going on inside of you. Because you still have the flesh, but you've got the spirit. You've got a new nature, and that battle's within you. A friend of mine at college, he told me this, and he was newly saved, only been saved a few years ago, and the boy loved the boy, he was, I didn't think of him as a boy back then, but my friend loved the Lord, but he still had a lot of the world in him. God was working some of these things out. And I remember us going, walking to the mall, and you know, there's certain stores in the mall you just don't go into. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay, I'm just passing that, and I'm looking straight on. I'm not even looking in there, you know. My friend told me, he says, you know what? A couple months ago, he says, I would have gone right in there and enjoyed it. But he says, once I got saved, he says, you know what goes on with, and this is how we illustrate it. I thought there's no better way to illustrate it. He says, what's going on now is this. And he put his two fists together. He says, I got this going on. Well, that's proof that you're saved. Because now you've got the Holy Spirit living inside, and you say, you know what? I don't think I should be doing that. Now my flesh still wants to. You know what? If we operate according to our flesh will want to do things that are contrary to the will of God. But that's why we have to, as the verse before it says, walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you do that? Get in the Word of God every day. Pray. Associate yourself with good people, good friends that encourage you and help you. Walk in the Spirit. You know, you can't say, well, I'm just going to live in the world and live in the flesh and expect God to just help me. No, he says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill that. When I think of the flesh, I think about our attitudes. I think about our words that we say. You know, many times, and I have to confess to the Lord, times I've gotten the flesh, we all slip up. Maybe I've said a word I shouldn't have said to somebody. Maybe I've said a word about somebody I shouldn't have said. I'll tell you, there's a couple areas where our flesh just enjoys things. We enjoy giving people a piece of our mind, don't we? The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that minister grace unto the hearers. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. But I'll tell you what, we're driving a car and somebody cuts us off. Woo, there's the flesh. Just rears its ugly head, doesn't it? You! Blah! You know. Or maybe we're standing in a grocery line and they want to do a price check. And then they got 1,000 groceries there. And then you're looking at your clock and you start tapping your foot and everything else. And then we're tempted to say something we shouldn't have said. Maybe somebody crosses us wrong even in church. And we say something and the Lord rebukes us and think, you should never have said that. That's the flesh. You know what another area that the flesh off just loves, it just loves is juicy stories about people and gossip. We love it. And I'll tell you what, I love it too. Because I'm honest, my flesh, we love to hear juicy stories. Oh, tell me. Oh, you got to tell me that one. I can't wait. And pretty soon, we're slandering people. We're talking about them behind their back. Listen, I've always heard somebody say this. Here's a good test if you want to say anything about somebody else. Number one, is it true? If it's not true, drop it. Number two, is it kind? It might be true, but it might not be kind. Say, hey, you know what? I don't like the way this conversation's going. Let's drop it. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And here's some probably the best advice I ever heard. Are you part of the problem? If you're not part of the problem, then maybe it doesn't concern you. Or the fourth one, their last one, I've lost track. There are five. Are you part of the solution? You might not be part of either. And you know what it turns into then? It just turns into gossip. Listen, gossip can destroy a church, and it's destroyed many a good church. The Bible's much to suck about it. We don't have time to go into all that, but talebearers, all that. What is that? What I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say it's flesh. And you know what? When you have to make that choice, when something comes a split second, and this is where we can make all the choices ahead of time we can, but it comes and it's right there, and flesh rears its ugly head, and you, Lord God, may I be controlled by your Spirit. Help me. And that's a good prayer to pray every morning. Lord, I want to be controlled by your Spirit and not the flesh today. And we make choices, and we make the wrong choices and destroy somebody's character to their face or behind their back. God, forgive us for doing so. Maybe it's in our attitude. Maybe our attitude's just wrong. We don't like when people tell us things and we roll our eyes. Or we do certain bodily movements or something else, you know. Flesh, that's all flesh. And you know we made the wrong choice at that point, that time. And we need to confess and get it right. Say, that was wrong of me to do that. A wrong choice, wrong choices. The world versus the will of God. The flesh versus the Spirit. Here's one more. The devil versus God. You say, well, I thought it's the devil versus Michael. They're more equal. Well, turn with me here to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You know, really, all temptations come from the devil, don't they? Even the flesh. He tempts our flesh. Of course, I'm not giving credit for the devil for that. It's my own stinking, rotten flesh that it's the reason why Christ died. But 1 John 4:4 says this, and this ought to be an encouragement to you. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Who's in the world? Satan. And so you don't need to say, well, the devil made me do it, and I couldn't help it. No, it's not true. You can. Romans chapter 5 or 6 says, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have victory over these things with God's help. There on that day of days, as Christ was being crucified, probably the worst wrong choice ever made in the history of the world took place. They chose Barabbas, a murderer, the world, the flesh, the devil, over Jesus. Which one are you choosing? Can I tell you, if you've never chosen Jesus as your Savior, that's the worst choice you'll ever make. You say, well, I've never chosen to receive him. Well, if you've never chosen him to receive him, you're really chosen to reject him. Because the Bible says in John 3:36, just listen to this verse, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God to abide on him. Either you believe in him, trust him, be saved, or you didn't believe him. There's no middle ground. I'm not kind of like a Christian. No, if you've not made the choice for Christ, you made the choice against Christ. And you're really choosing the devil. Would you make that choice for God today? The best choice you could ever make. We'll rejoice with you if you do. I'd be so happy and glad that you made that choice for the Lord Jesus. Christian, every day, would you ask God, help me to make the right choice? Parents, would you ask God, help me to make the right choice for my children, for my own standards, for my own life, that I might live a life that's pleasing to you? Let's bow in prayer.